Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.
Fried fam, if you've been giving everything you've got to your work and are running on fumes, you're not alone. Burnout isn't a failing. It's your nervous system stuck in survival mode, and you can't sustain your energy from that place. That's why we've created Unfried, a 5-month group coaching program that helps mission-driven high achievers like yourself rebuild safety, calm their nervous system, and recover in a way that lasts. When you heal, you don't just get your energy back, you get your mission back. We've got 2 groups of 6 starting October 7th and 8th. Apply now and secure your spot at katedonovan.com/unfried.
You deserve more than feeling constantly fried to a crisp. Welcome to Fried, the Burnout Podcast, where you get the understanding, the community, and the information you need to end burnout for good. I'm your host, Kate Donovan, and all of my work focuses on hashtag ending burnout culture. Outside the pod, you'll find me on stages at conferences giving keynotes, in offices providing corporate trainings, doing virtual VIP one-on-one work, or supporting our group program, Unfried, that is run by my right-hand woman, Sarah Vosen. Both Sarah and I have been through burnout and came out stronger, happier, and more fulfilled. And we want that post-burnout growth for you, too.
Hi, Fried fam. Today is a special episode with a participant from a former group of Unfried. So today I have with me...
Emily Slahetka.
And I had her pronounce her name because I didn't want to butcher it. I want to honor where that last name came from and how to say it. So thank you, Emily, for being here today. And what else were you just going to say?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share my story. I'm super happy to be here. And I was just going to say I'm a proud graduate of Unfried.
Yay! Oh, this is so fun to do this episode today and hear more about your overall experience with Unfried and specifically sharing your experience with all the podcast listeners, because tell them what you told me your goal is for today.
I think it would be a success if one person listens to this podcast episode who feels like I'm maybe burned out, but I don't think I'm burned out enough to get help. And then they hear this episode and they say, yes, I can get help now. I don't have to wait until I'm ashes and dust.
Absolutely. I hope that happens. So if that's you and your ears just perked up, keep listening. So Emily, that said, what was going on for you when you decided to join Unfried? Because I know you were walking that line, like, am I burnt out? Am I burnt out enough? I don't know. But what happened? What tipped the scales for you that made you feel like it's time?
Well, I was considering joining Unfried earlier in the year in the spring. I ended up joining towards the end of the year in the winter. I spent months just slowly declining down and finally got to the point of being really emotional all the time, like crying a lot, which is not really my normal state, and just feeling so overwhelmed that any little request from work or home felt like it was just too much. Like, my pot runneth over, or whatever, my cup runneth over, and not in a good way. And I was seriously considering leaving the job that I was in, quitting. I had no idea what I was going to do, but it felt like I couldn't take another step. So I was like, I have to get some help.
You're like, yeah, something. And I remember you ended up coming, the group had just started, and you ended up coming to office hours. And in that call, it sort of was like, yep, it's time. Like, yep, this is where I need to be.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that. And I can't remember what we talked about, but I do remember leaving the call feeling validated that I could get the help and that I should give myself the support that I needed. So I did join the program late in the sense that I missed the kickoff call. And I listened to that actually while my husband was getting surgery, which is kind of a random place to listen to it.
Right. But then makes it like a memorable moment of like, yeah. Here I go.
Yeah.
Here I am going, you know, the start of this journey while we're at this kind of scary unknown point in your husband's health, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you hope would happen when you joined Unfried? What were your kind of hopes and expectations and desires for the program, for yourself coming out the other end of the program, I should say?
You're probably going to laugh at this, but I really was hoping that I would get acknowledgement that my job was a toxic work environment and that it was everybody else's fault and that I was like, that I could quit and that it was the right thing to do. I wanted to blame others so, so much.
And that is funny, knowing what we did in Unfried. So that said, did your desires change as you went through the program?
Yes.
A lot, right?
Yeah. I actually didn't really have any expectations of what it would be. I mean, I read the sales page, so I knew what the modules would cover, but I sort of walked into it without any expectations other than hoping that I would be justified in quitting and blaming everyone else.
Right. And I remember that first message that you sent to our like Signal chat group. You were basically like, or maybe it was after you had been in for a minute and then you asked Kate, what are the like characteristics of a toxic workplace specifically? And you did a deep dive on that. You asked ChatGPT for some extra details. And then you came back to the group and you were like, crap, my job's not toxic. My workplace isn't toxic. And that's not what you were expecting to find out, right?
That was not what I was expecting to find out. And Kate provided a really great response in the Facebook group associated with the podcast. And also, I want to say, included some research, which my analytical brain loved. And I had to really take stock. Okay, the company that I work in corporate America, so it can be a toxic work space. And that's not to say that other people's spaces aren't toxic, but my particular situation was, by and large, actually pretty great. I had great relationships, a lot of support, resources. The problem was me and how I was overfunctioning. And once I came to terms with that, then the real work began in Unfried.
Yeah, right. You wanted to point fingers outward and then it was like, oh, I guess it's me and my experience of this workplace.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. Maybe your expectations, your relationship with your workplace and work ethic, really. Yeah. Right. So is there a difference between Unfried day one you and present day you?
Yes.
Can you name some of the ways that you are different?
I think I'm a lot more peaceful and calm. And I was able to start a meditation practice and continue it, a daily meditation. I'm working on getting up to 2 sessions a day, but that was something I've never been able to do, Sarah. Like not my entire life, because obviously I didn't know about meditation as a child, but maybe let's say over the last like 15 years, it's something I've been trying to do.
And what used to happen when you tried to meditate prior to working, to all the work you did in Unfried?
I would do it for a day and then quit, or do it for a couple days and quit, or just follow all the thoughts to the point of feeling overwhelmed and just that this doesn't work. And you know, I really wanted to do it. And I was finally able to do it. That was one thing. I wouldn't say I'm successful all of the time, but I definitely am a lot better at acknowledging what my capacity is, which you helped us differentiate between capability and capacity, which was so useful and not a framework I had ever heard about. And I don't know if you want to elaborate on that, but that for me was huge with my work.
Well, maybe explain why, because I don't know. I think a lot of times people confuse capability and capacity. Mm-hmm. So what did that distinction or what did providing that distinction do for you that made a big difference?
So my capability, and I would say probably a lot of people who burn out, their capability is very high. They can do a lot of things, but their capacity is low, which makes them not able to do all the things that they could normally do. And so you have to focus on building that capacity back up to the level that you want to be able to do things. And so it allowed me to recognize that I needed to invest more in, I don't love the phrase self-care, but self-care stuff to build my capacity back up so that I was capable of doing the things I wanted to do.
Just taking care of yourself.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So what are the ways that you, that Unfried helped you take care of yourself that boosted your capacity and therefore increased or brought you back into your full capability?
I had to start with taking things away, which I really didn't want to do. And you had us do that exercise with the tree, with the branches and the roots.
The life and, pruning.
Yes, the pruning. And I really didn't want to do it because I knew that it would require me to ask for help.
Mm.
And ask for help multiple times to multiple people. And to say no, and to do things okay, not amazing.
Well, and I love what you said. I remember in the closing call, you brought this up and you said, I didn't want to prune anything. I really wanted to resist pruning. But what happened when you just made the list, when you acknowledged the things in your life that weren't working for you that maybe you wanted to delegate or let go of or change in some way? What happened? It was almost like magic.
As soon as I wrote the list down, things started to come off of my plate. And some of it just were things just resolved naturally, which is like manifestation. But there were some things that I, when I looked at them, it didn't even make sense for me to be doing them. And it was either not my responsibility or it was an opportunity for somebody else to grow in the company and demonstrate that they also had the capacity to move into a leadership position. So I had to, you had the analogy that some things are a trim and others are the chainsaw up above your head, hacking away at the limb. And some of them did feel like that. But when they were finally off of my plate, I felt so much relief, so much lightness, and I didn't miss them at all. And I didn't care what happened to those things when they were off my plate.
Yeah. That's the outcome I was hoping for, but interesting that you were like, no, it made your resistance prior to that happening. And then it was like, oh, thank God. Great. So that is a major difference. Would you say you're burnt out right now? Do you feel like you're through your burnout recovery? Or are you still on the path?
I don't know if I can answer that question if I'm fully recovered, but I think that I can say I know when I'm taking too much on. I know I can feel mm-hmm. when my energy levels dip, when it becomes harder for me to accomplish tasks, when I'm the burnout risk and protection factor list that we had to go off of. I can tell when I'm dipping into the risk factors too much. And I think that one of the things that I loved about the program, there was a lot of research and science and great information. And also you brought in the Chinese medicine aspect to it. So there was an energetic aspect and you kept pushing me to get into my yin energy and focus on the yin side of things and being more engaged with how my body felt and listening to my energy has really helped me navigate how I feel and the choices that I make. And so I can't say for sure, like, yes, I'm 100% recovered, total success, but I feel really good most of the time. And I'm very aware of when I start to deviate from that.
Cool. That means you are attuned to your body and the messages that it's sending you at this point. prior to joining Unfried, did you use any of your body's messages to kind of decide yes or no, am I going to do this thing? Or was it more of like a logical think it through process?
Well, I'm a former washed up athlete from college, and, you know, I'm very into physical activity. So I think I've always had a connection to my energy and that sort of thing, but I don't think I ever gave myself permission to follow the energy of my body and use my mind to overpower it and push through and get it done and grind and all of that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. As a gymnast, I was told to push through. It was like tape, ibuprofen, ice, keep going.
Yep.
Right. Like my body was talking to me, but I was not supposed to listen to it.
Yeah.
So it's an unlearning of ignoring those signals from your body and coming back to giving them some credit, listening to them, giving them some credit, honoring them and providing, which clearly you've been doing.
And the pee when you have to pee, drink when you're thirsty. That is such a good starting point for anyone. And I try to start all of my meetings with, when I'm facilitating the meeting, hey, if you've been in back-to-back meetings for the past couple of hours, take the first few minutes of this meeting and go to the bathroom, go get something to drink or eat. I don't try and just plow into it because I know how that feels.
Oh my God, Emily, that is revolutionary potentially for some people who are used to just not peeing and not drinking water so they don't have to pee until lunch or the end of the workday. Wow. Thank you for doing that for your fellow meeting goers. What was the most important lesson you learned in Unfried, would you say?
Ask for help and don't wait until it's too late, until you desperately need it. I am so glad. I mean, I still think I could have signed up earlier for Unfried earlier in the year, but I'm so glad that I didn't wait until it was a crisis level to sign up and ask for help. And I had no financial barriers. It was like, I wasn't allowing myself to give myself support because I wanted to do it all on my own and prove to everyone that I was so strong and I didn't need anything. But then, you know, when I'm thinking about quitting a good job and I'm thinking about I can't do another thing and crying all the time, like that, I was like, okay, something has to change. And everybody needs help at different points in their life. And I don't think there's any shame around that. And so that for me is just always a good reminder. And I still like ask for help. I still try and implement that now.
So even just signing up for Unfried was maybe the biggest asking for help that you did.
Yeah.
Right. Even just trying it on and being like, okay, let's give this a whirl. Cause even when you just said like in the life pruning exercise, you were like, I know I'm going to need to ask for help and I don't want to. So you took the step of asking for help, like with burnout recovery by joining Unfried. And then it was like, but no more. Yep. So what would you say, like beyond maybe because of the work we did in Unfried, what's a specific situation that you got help with that really like made it so clearly easier to get through?
Well, in the past few months, I have asked for more management staff on my team because I had assistant managers who had too many team members to manage in addition to their client delivery work. And I was covering for a pretty large and complicated project because we didn't have somebody identified for that. And I just kept saying, where can we add more help for me, more help for others at work? And that has made such a difference. And people are really, for the most part, excited to help, excited for the opportunity. They want to pitch in. I haven't really seen a lot of, fine, or anything like that. That's which great. I always think is going to be people's reactions. Like I'm imposing on them or bothering them, asking for help.
Right. Because I think it inherently feels good to help, but only if you are getting something in, that you need in return. Otherwise it gets depleting over time. I mean, that's why there's so many helpers that burn out, because we've been blocking the receiving part, whether it's getting help or from delegation or help from ourselves in self-nourishment and self-care. So I love that. You were like, I don't want to do this, but let me ask for help and see what happens. And everybody's like, cool. Yeah, I want to do it. I want to feel good. I want to help. I want to give back. I want, you know, what a lovely workplace culture. Not toxic at all.
No, it's not. And I keep trying to do my part to ensure that it stays a non-toxic work environment and maybe even becomes better, because I do recognize that I work in the corporate world and there are a lot of negative, let's say toxic productivity, perhaps is a good way to say it.
Yes,
that great exists, way to say that. Sure. So, you know, I even try and apply some of the pruning to the work that we have, because we always have more work than we have the ability to complete. And I think it's really tempting to try and do it all. And so I try and help my team members figure out what actually is not important, what's not critical, what can be pushed off. And I do the same for myself. I don't love the idea that you have work-life balance or separate, you know, your personal life and your work life and the two shall never meet. I just think that never actually works out, because people have families and interests and stuff outside of work. And so when things come up, when real family situations come up, we try and help each other out. Like, please go take care of your sick child and get off your computer. Like, we're not doing brain surgery here. It can right. wait. So right. I try and apply that as well. Just creating that culture.
Fantastic. Yeah. Like really being realistic about workload and resources and flexibility within your work day and overall deadlines, and just making it, I feel like admitting the humanity. It's like bringing humanity into the workplace and into productivity, which sometimes work cultures try to make it like, well, it, almost like we are all machines and we're just in this factory and you can pump out this many units of blah, 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 rather than being like, hi, I'm a human and I have a bladder and I need to pee sometimes and I can't do all the things, you know. Let's blend the two.
Exactly. And I work in IT, so I like to remind people that even machines need breaks. They have to come offline for recalibration. And so even the robots take breaks.
Thank you. Oh my God. I mean, it sounds like potentially you've even shared already some things that maybe surprised you, that you learned about yourself while in Fried. But is there anything else that comes to mind if I ask you, did you learn anything about yourself that really surprised you in the 4 months we were together?
I was really surprised at how much I like to do nothing when I allow myself to.
I love that answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we get kind of stuck on like productivity feels good, achievement feels good, but so does doing nothing. We just forget when we've been in that other mode for a long time. I love it. So what's it like, literally doing nothing, or is there like a favorite way that you have to do nothing?
Like, I think I have different degrees of it, but before we moved, we just recently moved this year, but before we did, the house that we used to live in had this deck that was out with like very high deck. And so you were kind of like tree level to treetop level. And one of my favorite things to do was just sit on the deck and watch the wind blow through the trees, or just watch the clouds and the birds and the sky. So, I mean, I guess I was doing something in the sense I was sitting and watching, but that's it. No phone, no music, nothing, just sitting and watching.
Right. Just being one with nature.
Yeah.
Love it. I mean, folks, she just brushed by this, but Emily ended up moving states while in on Fried. So while doing a lot of deep introspective work, a lot of exercises, she ended up moving multiple states over. And I think this is important to note because moving, especially when you aim to do it all on your own, can be so depleting. And you were already depleted because you were burnt out and in this program. But tell the listeners the ways that you asked for help and delegated and took care of yourself during your move, such that at the end of it, you were like, yeah, that wasn't so bad. I actually feel pretty good now that I moved. Like I'm fine. So what did you, how did you help yourself?
So my husband asked his coworkers to help us load the U-Haul. We ended up having to U-Haul just circumstantially. That's how it worked out. So for the first time ever, we've moved, I think, 7 times over our however many years we've been together, which is terrible that I don't know that off the top of my head. But we've moved a lot. And for the first time ever, I didn't have to do all of the hauling with my husband. So it was really nice to have a bunch of help to load the U-Haul. We hired some help to help us unload when we got to our new home. When we were house hunting, I actually used the burnout protection factor list to make sure that we were buying a house that hit all the criteria in a neighborhood that hit all the criteria, which was really cool.
Yes, I love that. Which is, folks, can you all remember? Kate's talked about this in other episodes. Green space, access to green space and the ability to use it. Being surrounded by beauty, especially nature, natural beauty. Feeling safe physically and psychologically. And then inside your home, you know, it feeling beautiful and safe to you. What else did you look for? Does that cover it all?
I think so.
Great. I love that.
Yeah. There was the thing, one of the things that always struck me that Kate said is like, like going around your home and looking for things that when you say make you feel safe, my initial thought is, my understanding of that was like, you know, the doors are locked or whatever. There's like a security system. But she was like, even just sharp edges that you constantly bump into is perceived as unsafe in your brain. And so as we start to decorate our house, I have that in mind, buying more round furniture, soft things. And, you know, I'm looking out, I can see green outside of my window. So I positioned my home office in that way. And so that was really useful to have those tips. But yeah, we just asked. And then the other thing that I did was, in addition to having a lot of help with the actual move, I took a full week off of work so that we would have a lot of time to unload, to put everything where we wanted it to go, to set up all the utilities, to just explore the area. And that felt really spacious to have a full week off. I cannot honestly believe that I thought I was going to work half of the week and move. Like, that's insane.
Right. So in the past, had you ever taken time off to move? Or maybe like more than like a day or like an extended weekend or something?
Very little. Like just whatever, like try and fit it all in one day. And then, you know, as you have time, just unpack things. But we were unpacked and moved in within a week. And when I told people that, they were so surprised. So I think other people are probably shoving it into the spaces as well.
Well, totally. And how many times people like they give them just themselves just enough time to move in and then like boxes sit unpacked for a long time. Because you're like, you didn't give yourself enough time to really move in. You gave yourself maybe time to move, but not move in and settle in and have time and space to actually like feel into your space like you've done and be like, what's the flow and where do I want to look when I'm sitting on my desk or at my couch? And what a difference that makes in your everyday living experience after that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another thing that, just going back to your question about takeaways, is I have a lot of privilege in my life, and allowing myself to have that time freedom, allowing myself access to resources that I can afford, just giving myself that gift has been really helpful. So I'm so glad that I took the time. I recognize not everybody has the time to make a move. They can't just take a week off of work, but I do have that ability. And I'm glad that I gave myself that gift. And I was also able to return to work feeling settled, refreshed, ready to go.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, of course, certain privileges allow you to do that. And it's just an example of ways that we don't often give ourselves permission to help ourselves. You know, maybe in your life, you don't have the same financial privilege, and so it makes it harder, or maybe even time privilege. But there are things that we don't tend to think of as high achieving, kind of like overproductive folks, overfunctioning folks, that we could give ourselves that could make our lives easier, right? We're always asking, how can I do this more efficiently, rather than like, how could I do this in a way that actually leaves me feeling good?
Yeah.
Yeah. If present day you could speak to unfried day one you, what would you say to her?
Stop doing so much. Stop saying yes.
Do you think she'd hear that? Do you think she would have heard you saying that?
I think she would be open to it, but then would say, I don't know how. And I think the how was the unfolding in Fried.
So you feel like the how the program's laid out gave you the how step by step?
Yes, but not in a way that I expected, because I thought I'd get my checklist and follow my project plan and we'd just be good. We didn't have to do any kind of introspection or work. There would be no circling back to anything. It'd just be linear, done, right? I mean, that's very Western brain thinking.
Turns out I was using my Chinese medicine brain when I put together Unfried. And so everything's very circular. And we come back to things. It's all based in yin and yang, folks. That's why we talk about it a lot, right? And burnout being about a lack of yin, a yin deficiency, and this excess of yang, and that the imbalance that comes from it. So I absolutely put this program together using the wisdom of Chinese medicine and experience. Like, I ran several groups through the program before you did it, Emily. And each time I honed it, I tweaked the worksheets, the handouts. I changed the order of things because I really wanted it to flow, because that's what I was aiming for us to do, is feel the flow, how much easier life is, like those round corners, right? When energy is flowing in your home, it feels better. When energy is flowing in your body, it just feels better, more ease, more peace, as you described before. And we don't move in lines. Like, our growth isn't linear. Our growth is cyclical. We expand, we grow, and then we have to contract and kind of find safety again, right? We step outside our comfort zone, and then we need to come back to our old comforts and safety. And that's the reality of a healing process and a growth process. So I'm so glad that it felt that way to you. That just makes me proud, because I'm like, oh, yay.
Good job, Sarah.
I did it.
Yeah, it did feel that way to me. And I did feel my energy or life force come back online and then grow and get stoked. And it felt like internal fire was back. One of the parts of the program that I thought would be a total waste of time that ended up being one of my favorite parts were the implementation stations. I don't know if you wanted to explain those.
Well, they were there as an intentional sort of like place for us to percolate on what we were doing, ask questions, try things out, get clarification, just give you time to practice the new module content. Yeah. So what was your experience of those that made it surprisingly beneficial instead of a waste of an hour?
Yeah. I thought it was, I was like, ugh. This is so, we don't have new content to go over. Like, every week must have purpose. And I ended up thinking that the conversations that we had as a group, which, by the way, I love a group program, because hearing from others' experiences is really, really useful to accelerate the learning. And I felt like the conversations that we had in those implementation stations were so powerful and deep and interesting and useful and applicable that it really did help you integrate the content from the previous weeks that we were going through.
Love it. That was exactly my intention. So I'm glad it ended up that way. And your group, this was so fun, Fried Fam. the group Emily was in. So normally we just do groups of five. I like five, I make six, and it's just everybody fits on the Zoom page, and it like feels like a nice little number. Well, Emily's group was a group of eight because everyone came in with a flying force and I could not, and Emily came in late, but it was clear that she needed to be in there. So we ended up a group of eight, nine, including me. And I was like, okay, let's see how this goes. And it was so evident that the eight of you that came together were meant to be together, right? Like you all had a synergy and like a dynamic that was, what is it? What even is the word? It's like kind of had a force of its own. And I was there to like hold space for it. And it was very dynamic and it was very fun to hold space and challenging at times because y'all brought things to the space that I hadn't ever processed before. But yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah. I was so blown away by the women, that it was all women in the group, and just really honored to be a part of their journey and witness them, powerful women doing pretty incredible things in the world. And when I first joined the group, I felt really, really sad that everybody was so burned out. I think a lot of the women in the group were like at the ashes level. And it made me really sad to think about people who have so much to give that weren't able to do that. They weren't living aligned lives, right? And so I'm really grateful that you and Kate have the resources and the program to help bring people back and realign their lives in a way that works for them. Because it was some really cool women.
I agree. Yeah. That's why we focus on mission-driven people, because, you know, when you lose your joy and your spirit and your kind of the guiding light of your heart, you don't feel called to your mission you're just like, what's the point, right? That cynicism and that sort of apathy, like, what's the point? There is a point. And I really am honored to bring people back to their alignment with their center, their heart, their soul, their spirit, their purpose, their mission, because I needed that. And that was important for me too. Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah. We talked a lot about heart in that group too.
We did.
That being a big theme. It was a throughway, the group.
It was a big deal for everyone that was going through it at the time. And it usually is for burnt out folks. Cause as I think said before, but maybe not in this way, is that I really feel like we call it burnout because your flame gets extinguished, right? It's sort of like the fire of your passion and purpose and guiding light. And so when it's not there, we don't know what to do. We need it to be stoked again from that little ember, so that it not only like lights us up from the inside, but also shows us where to go.
Yeah. That's how I felt, Sarah, going back to your first question. I felt like, what is the point? Like, there's no point in me being here, not in life, but just like in my job and all the various aspects of my life. And so, yeah, I think you described perfectly how I felt.
Well, and jumping back to your job, it was interesting because you said you wanted to point fingers outward and blame everyone. And then what you realized when you were like, uh-oh, it's me, is also like, you also then pivoted from there and thought, once we did the core values, you were like, oh, it's not me. I'm not broken. I'm not the problem. The problem is, what did you learn?
Well, I think part of the problem is the corporate culture, the hustle culture, the Western structure, the fierce, independent, like rugged individualism as a Western value, I think is a problem. So yes, I work within the context of a corporate culture, but the community within my company was very giving and helpful. And bosses, peers, team members were messaging, we want to help, let us help you. You don't need to do that kind of stuff. I also, in the core values exploration, started to just define myself outside of my job. I think I'm very attached to defining myself through my job because it's a very easy way to define external achievement and success. And a lot of my core values really don't have anything to do with that. One of my core values is nature, and my job doesn't really have anything to do with nature. That's just for me. So one of the things that I do for myself to align with my core value is make sure that I go outside every single day. I have gardens that I've started tending, and we live by the beach now. So I go to the beach and dig my feet into the sand and just enjoy nature for nature, and also recognizing I'm a part of nature, honoring those cycles and rhythms of nature.
That makes me so happy. So happy. Coming back to what you said, like your goal is to help maybe even one person realize like they're burnt out enough. If they're here and they're listening, they're burnt out enough to get help now. Why is that so important to you? Like, for example, like you said, you were watching these women and it felt so sad to watch the women in your group who were burnt to a pile of ashes level, because you realized at that point you weren't as burnt out as them and you weren't all the way burnt out to a pile of ashes. And that ended up to be a benefit to you. Do you want to say more about that?
Yeah, I think there's, I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I think with high achieving individuals, there's this sense of like, maybe it's a morality aspect in asking for help. Like you have to be so far gone to like crisis state to ask for help, then you're worthy of it or allowed to ask for help. But I can tell from my team members, I have, you know, 60 people, 60 plus people, maybe 80 on my team. And I don't interact with all of them closely, but when I do interact with people, it's pretty obvious to tell who's burning out or, you know, who's trending down that way. And it just takes you so far off of your path, off of what you're able to do. And not just from a production standpoint, but just a living standpoint. Like you just become disconnected from everything. And when you let yourself get so far burned out, it takes a lot to get back to that baseline state. Like it's a lot of work to recover from burnout, and it takes a long time. And if you can, what is the 18 months, I think is what I remember Kate quoting as typical, like 12 to 18 months.
Yeah. If you get help, 12 to 18 months with help, right. 3 to 5 years without help.
Right. Like that's a long time to be living in a state that is not a great physical, mental, emotional, spiritual place to be. And so I don't want people to get all the way to that point where they have to leave their job, where they have to, you know, they can't get out of bed. Just being in that state, it's not worth it. Like join the program now or join a different program, find the resources, get a therapist or whatever you have to do to do all of it. Right. I think it's really important. Like why let yourself get to that point? That was a really rambling response, but I just feel this, like if I check in with my body, I can feel that energy coming up from like my solar plexus and my heart. And it feels like so powerful. Like don't let your heart go offline. Like don't let that internal fire die on you. It's not worth it. You are worthy of asking for help, of getting help, receiving help.
Amen. Emily, thank you for that clarity that's now come through, right? You weren't clear on that before you started on Fried, but you learned that throughout the program. And yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that it now is like, you feel it in your body. You feel it in your solar plexus, in your heart. Like, you're passionate about that message and you're sharing it at work and aiming to change your work culture so that it isn't a burnout culture anymore in the ways that you can control, which is all that we ask. Not that people change, but just do what's within your control. Feel empowered in your own life. Take care of yourself in the ways that you can and delegate and ask for help when something is out of your control or you can't, you don't have the capacity for it. And all of that is that all of that doesn't change your worth and your value as a human, right? That's really what it comes down to, is we feel like we can't ask for help because it means we failed.
Yeah.
But that's not true. You know that now.
I do. I really believe it too. I think I live it. And to your point about changing the culture, I am not actively crusading in my company to change the culture and change corporate culture and anything like that. I'm only doing small things that I can control that I feel like I can do, but I already know it's working because I get feedback from my managers all the time. Things like, you're so clear on what's a priority and what's not. Thank you for that. And I don't think I would be there without doing Unfried. So I know the butterfly effects, the ripple effect is happening, maybe not as big and grand as a, you know, something you'd love to see on social media, but it is working.
That's why we say small things, right? Even just you breaking up the culture by saying, let's take 3 minutes of this meeting to go get some water. Like, to, I say, water in, water out, go pee, get some water, like get what you need so that we can actually have a productive meeting right now. That is huge because everyone in that meeting just got permission to take care of themselves. And they might, next time they run a meeting, do that too. And just that thing alone could change a lot of work cultures or overall hustle culture. So I love that idea. I love that you're doing that. Is there anything else that you want to say about Unfried or about my facilitation of Unfried that would maybe encourage some folks to feel like it was a worthwhile investment for themselves, time, energy, and money to do when it's time for them?
I already talked a little bit about the power of being in a group setting and the resources that were provided in the program were so thorough and helpful to go through. And you walked us through all of the resources so that we didn't try to figure it out on our own, which was really nice. And having access to the call recordings was really useful because I would go back and listen to them taking a walk with my dogs and something else would land for me. And in particular, your facilitation, I always heard the term holding space, but I don't think I really understood it until I was in the program with you, because you created, it felt like almost like a circle, even though we were all on Zoom, and everybody was welcome in the circle and everybody had a voice and a presence. And you have this way of just listening to people and then reflecting back with a really interesting question that gets right to the root of the issue. Somebody would be saying whatever, 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 but then you'd be like, and what have you thought about this? And I think that sometimes your questions were challenging to people, myself included, like the thing they know they need to hear, but they don't want to hear it. Not in a negative way, but in like a real change-making way.
Great.
Yeah.
Folks, that's what I'm good at. That's why I do what I do. And I put up with all of the other crap that comes along with being an entrepreneur, including marketing and admin and all these things. If you've ever like worked with me, you know that I'm not good at sharing my screen. But I'm good at asking the right question to get you through whatever tough time you're having.
Which is why we signed up, because I didn't sign up to watch you. Share your screen.
Thank God. Yes. Thank you for that reflection. You're letting me know that my clarity for what I'm aiming to provide and why is coming through clearly, like message received, not only by you, but like I just ended an Unfried group today and yesterday. And so I'm, you know, we did our closing calls and testimonial forms. And I'm making this about me for a second because it really means a lot to me when people share their experience and reflect back to me what happened, because it just feels really good to have my intention manifest, especially when my intention is to help people come back to life. It means a lot to me. And I know it will mean a lot to, of course, each of you, but and the world, right? It's going to help us with our mission to end burnout culture, because I think that's important for all of humanity and the natural world and us being a part of the natural world. So just thank you. Thank you for taking the time to reflect and share and to validate yourself in your own experience, but also to hopefully open the door to any of you, Fried Fam, who hear this and go, wow, I didn't know any of that was possible or that's what was happening in Unfried. And I'm sorry if you didn't get that message before, because like I said, I'm bad at marketing.
Well, I mean, you had 8 people in my round, so you can't be that bad.
Well, that's true. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for sharing your experience and your passion. And not just for yourself, but also for the other people who, like, hey, who might be able to help themselves when they're not all the way burnt out yet, right? They might be able to get some help before they're a pile of ashes so that it doesn't take as long to come back, right? Because the deeper your hole of depletion, the longer it takes to fill. So if people are already noticing, and remember the signs of burnout, exhaustion, cynicism, and like low productivity or feeling like what you do doesn't matter. And if you're feeling any of those things, you're burnt out enough to get help, whether it's Unfried or one-on-one coaching or coming to our office hours or getting therapy or going to the naturopath, whatever you feel are called to do, get help in whatever way you can now so that your burnout recovery is much shorter.
Yes.
Hear, hear.
I fully support that message. And thank you to you and Kate for doing the podcast and the Facebook group and the office hours and the emails and the marketing and all the things, because you are normalizing the conversation around burnout and making it okay for people to get help. And thank you for helping me.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. All right, Emily, thank you so much for being here today. And Fried Fam, thank you for listening all the way to the end of Emily's story, success story, her reclamation of herself story, right? This isn't a redemption story. It's a reclamation story. And I love that so much. I don't know if you can, if you're on the podcast, you're not seeing this, but if you're watching this on Instagram or somewhere where there's a video, can you see the sparkle in her eyes? Her eyes are sparkling right now. And I tell everyone at the beginning of Unfried that my intention for you is for you to get your sparkle back. And Emily has her sparkle back. So good job, us. We did it. All right, Fried Fam. Until next time, take care of yourself and ask for help. Bye.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.
Fried Fam, if you've been giving everything you've got to your work and are running on fumes, you're not alone. Burnout isn't a failing. It's your nervous system stuck in survival mode, and you can't sustain your energy from that place. That's why we've created Unfried, a 5-month group coaching program that helps mission-driven high achievers like yourself rebuild safety, calm their nervous system, and recover in a way that lasts. When you heal, you don't just get your energy back, you get your mission back. We've got 2 groups of 6 starting October 7th and 8th. Apply now and secure your spot at katedonovan.com/unfried.